Hey, Chris Manning from Lockdown Cavs here. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to run through some of the teams we're most excited to see in the NBA bubble. We'll talk about this a little bit, I'm sure. I'm feeling a little less enthused about this for a variety of reasons. But, you know, it's happening still, and we're seeing there's some great content already coming out of that in terms of the shenanigans of it all. But we're going to talk about some of the teams we're most excited about. But, Evan, before we get into today's show, why don't you tell everyone about our title sponsor?
Well, today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
And with that, let's hop into today's show.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
Cleveland! This is for you!
All right, Evan. How was your weekend? How are you doing?
Oh, it wasn't too bad. Did some cooking. I made carbonara today from scratch. It was really good. It was really good. No peas present. I tried to do authentic Italian this time around, so it was pretty tasty. How are you, though? How's it going?
It's going good. You know, I'm a little more concerned about the bubble, just seeing how, like...
Oh, it's a mess.
Especially, like, when you see, like, how the MLS bubble is, like, having games canceled or and postponed and things because of tests, and it being just such an uneasy thing, and then, like, the United States infrastructure for all of this is just, like... You know, it's not what you want compared to other countries. Like, the reason Germany and their, as Evan would say, their pasta soccer league are able to make it work is just because the country is just better equipped to handle something like this. So, you know, we'll see how Orlando goes. Not totally enthused. And I think as we kind of hop into our conversation about where we're at with this, I feel like, especially right now, with kind of the certain players opting out and certain teams kind of being less interesting, I feel like it's like, almost like they should have done more vetting on who's actually going to show up before they decided to send, like, the Washington Wizards to Orlando.
Yeah, they got to worry about who's showing up, such as the Wizards and the Nets. I do think it's really funny that people are saying, oh, no, the Nets just signed Jamal Crawford and Michael Beasley to see if they're long-term fits for their roster. I mean, maybe they are going forward, but let's be frank, Jamal Crawford's 40 years old. I don't think he has much longer in the NBA. I think it's funny that some girl on Twitter has already said that an NBA player is trying to get her to come into the bubble.
Yeah, amazing, amazing stuff. And then, like, Mo Bamba being like, Donovan Mitchell, what are you, like, already on one?
I think it's Montrezl Harrell, because I think Montrezl Harrell's the only NBA player that follows her, besides Nick Young. And Nick Young's no longer playing, and I don't think he's present, so... Yeah, shout out to Trez trying to dismantle the Clips from within, because Rich Paul is trying to help help LeBron long term, you know. It's all long, long con. But I think it's gonna be a mess. I think the MLS numbers are discouraging. I think it's gonna be really hard to keep people roped in and under wraps, especially, like, you know, the whole food situation is really funny too. I like the Fyre Fest comparisons. But there's a lot of other players who are like, it's really not that bad. I think tweeted a quote from when Richaun Holmes was talking about it and comparing, because, you know, he went to BGSU and kids who went to MAC schools know, or at least smaller schools in Ohio know, that the cafeteria selection usually isn't that great to begin with. So I don't know. Having a Disney chef would be nice, but I'm contrary to what one of our reviewers said, I'm hoping this doesn't fail, and I hope this all works out. I'm not gonna have an "I told you so" moment if it doesn't work out, but I have my doubts. So, but if it does happen, I'm more than happy to talk about teams I'm rooting for. And Chris, I think that's a good segue, if you'd say. Yeah. And actually, did you know? I learned this not too long ago. The guy who invented the segue was showing how safely he could stop it on a dime, and he drove it, like, was along a cliff and tried to show that he could stop on a dime, and he couldn't. He ended up driving himself off a cliff.
Oh no.
Yeah, no, that's such an interesting factoid. And also, for those of you downtown, don't ride a bird scooter. I was downtown not too long ago, and every asshole and their cousins are riding those stupid bird scooters on the sidewalks. They're for the streets, first off, but you got to think we're in the middle of a pandemic and who's touching those. But back on track here. I miss playoff LeBron last year, and I'm really excited to see playoff LeBron in the Disney bubble. I mean, it's going to be a weird time overall, but this Lakers team is so locked and loaded, and they have JR back, and they have Dion, and like there's so many like former Cavaliers, LeBron most of all, on this roster that makes me excited to watch this Lakers squad, and I think they're going to be a team I'm rooting for, and I hope LeBron can win another ring. It'd be a fun time just to see it happen.
Yeah, they're on my list too. I made like kind of like a rough list of teams that I'm excited about for different reasons. But if you're talking about, like, I'm pro LeBron. I think LeBron, if he's not the best player ever, he's the second best player ever. I just knowing some of the stuff that went on with the 2018 team and him dragging those teams to places they had no reason to go. Like, the guy is incredible, and this is kind of like. I would trust no other superstar more than him to just like make sure this works out in his favor, right? Like, yeah. If there's anyone that is going to be able to sustain themselves throughout all of this, I'm pretty confident that like he's going to get them ready to go. And like the cast of characters is just amazing. Like J.R. Smith live streaming from his hotel room being like, ooh, short ribs, damn! And just being like J.R. Smith is just incredible. Deion Waiters being Deion Waiters is just incredible. The JaVale McGee cameo in the live stream, like, there's all this stuff with that Lakers team that just makes them, like, likable, which is not, like, always a fun thing to say about the biggest basketball team in the world. But they're really good, and a LeBron Lakers title win, considering, you know, this is still the same season that, you know, Kobe Bryant obviously died during, which feels like 7 years ago in a lot of ways at this point, you know, just like, you just got how much it just happened. Yeah. You know, like, that's going to mean something, even though it won't be in LA, and there's certainly something you lose by not having it in that city, but the Lakers winning is one of the more, I think, fun outcomes, especially considering, you know, they'll have to go through the Clippers, and that series could be incredible. And it feels like this could be a title that is just like an all-time LeBron title. And him and AD is really, really fun. And it's always good to get some, you know, get some extra tape on future Cav Alex Caruso, who may play a bigger role because of Avery Bradley, who you assume will play a bigger role because Avery Bradley didn't go to the bubble.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I actually have a question for you about Anthony Davis. Do you think he is the best wingman LeBron has had in terms of his super team? So, like, when you think about it, it's Dwayne Wade is his number two in Miami, Kyrie is his number two in Cleveland, and clearly Anthony Davis is his number two in Los Angeles. Do you think Anthony Davis is the best he's had?
I think prime Wade is probably the best. And I think Wade starts breaking down towards the end there, but I think I would defer to prime Wade. Because that guy was just, like, unreal.
He was.
But I think if it's... to me, it's, like, prime Wade, then Davis, and then it gets interesting because, like, is it Bosch? Like, I think there's a pretty good argument for Bosch as number three in a lot of ways because of the defensive impact. But Bosch, Kyrie obviously should be there as well. And I don't want to... You know, Kevin's obviously did a lot of really important stuff for those Cavs teams. But I think it's Wade and Davis in their own tier at the top.
See, I'd agree with that listing, and we should talk about Chris Bosh maybe a little bit more sometime, because he was criminally underrated as, like, a third person on that Heat roster. Like, if Kevin Love was able to play a modicum of the defense Chris Bosh did, oh my goodness, that Cavs team would have been so much... I mean, they were pretty good to begin with, but those Cavs teams would have been even much better if Chris Bosh was able to take care of it. But, I mean, I guess the other obvious pick for me in terms of contenders are the Bucks. I think I like what they've put together. I root for Kyle Korver. I hope George Hill doesn't see the ghost of a missed free throw again if the clutch time situation calls for it. The Bucks do make the finals. Giannis, you know, is nipping at LeBron's heels for the face of the league in terms of being the league's best player. I don't think he'll really surpass him until LeBron really becomes a second fiddle on somebody's team. So that's definitely interesting. Chris Middleton is an underrated wingman. I think the Lopez twins are a lot of fun. I think
is that Ty Windish like sneaking up into the pod, just being like
for that. I talked to Ty a lot, and I also asked him this question that would he rather have the best the Bucks ever do make the Eastern Finals or the NBA Finals and lose, but Giannis stays forever, or the Bucks win back to back titles and Giannis exits to Toronto? Because I really wanted to like dig the spike into Ty's side a little bit in free agency, and he told me that he's a little torn on the question, and that was a fun listen. Maybe you guys should listen to the Eurostep to find out his answer, but I really like what Milwaukee has assembled. I went to Milwaukee and watched them play the Cavs in Milwaukee, and it was just an absolute ass-kicking, and they're just a fun team to watch. They're like the Hawks. The Hawks team that the Cavs dismantled when Budenholzer was the head coach, but they actually have a legitimate superstar and a second star in Chris Middleton as an option, so they're not as fraudulent as Atlanta was when Budenholzer coached them. And maybe that'll exercise some of the demons that he has as well, because people do question the legitimacy of Mike Budenholzer as a head coach. And abbreviated title or not, it'll definitely help squash a lot of notions.
As someone who grew up, you know, obviously around that first era of LeBron Cavs teams, Giannis winning would be pretty cool. And like Zach Lowe mentioned this recently on his pod talking about the Bucks, but their window's not as wide open as you would think, just because of the age of Eric Bledsoe and George Hill and all that stuff.
They have like no elite young prospects when Malcolm Brogdon walked. So
yes, and like, you know, there's obviously the health concerns about Brogdon in their own right, but they're another one on my list as well. It's kind of boring to say the best two teams are kind of
fun teams.
Right, and there's a lot of good stories kind of with those two teams. And you know, I honestly, NBA bubble champion J.R. Smith along with NBA bubble champion Dion Waiters is just, like, enough for me in the Lakers. And, like, just because I love Kyle Korver, and I say that not just because I like his game quite a bit, but one of the guys who is just most willing to just chat in locker rooms and stuff, like, I hold the soft spot in my heart for him just kind of answering random questions I would have about stuff and taking my questions seriously, frankly, which not all guys do. So I just salute to Kyle Korver. Giannis obviously is a lot of fun, and there's George Hill. George Hill winning a title to me would be pretty cool for him as well, considering he's gotten close a couple of times, and obviously has an all time, maybe a little overshadowed because of the JR thing, title mistake, the first and one time with the Cavs. But that is what it is. Evan, though, let's take a break here, but tell everyone about our sponsor before we go.
Well, Chris and I aren't heading to Orlando to cover the NBA bubble, and we're not going to Chicago probably to cover the second bubble. But if we did and we needed reliable car care and to make sure our cars are up and running to get to either destination, because I ain't flying during a pandemic, I'd use rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all your parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions such as, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business, serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
And with that, we're going to be right back with more Locked On Cavs. We'll talk about some other teams right after this. All right, Evan, here's my pick, Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Dallas is a fun pick. They're a fun team. I mean, they have some weird bumps.
The pitch is Luka. The offense they have is unbelievable. Their net rating indicates that they're much better than them being like seventh in the West. Boban is just a treat. Like, he's been maybe the social MVP of the bubble so far. And him just like catching a fish is just incredible. I just think Dallas is really interesting, and I think, you know, how they approach this. They've had obviously some weird roster stuff in their own right with Willie Cauley-Stein, and you know, they had a key injury to Dwight Powell before the season came to a halt, and you know, they have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is on their team now, which is interesting.
God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, right. I learned that. I realized that the other day when I was kind of perusing some roster stuff. But they're a team that I just really like. And Luka is like I think we'll talk about this at some point down the line in terms of like maybe I think someone pitched to us like favorite games we've covered and stuff as like a show topic or games we've been at, which I think would be a really fun topic. The Luka game where he scored, I don't remember even what year it was at this point, but it might have been his rookie year. But he came in and just scored a ton in front of this large Slovenian group from Cleveland, kind of in attendance, and it was just a lot of fun. And I think he's amazing, and I just think Dallas will be really interesting to watch. And Rick Carlisle is a great coach, and to me, they're just a team that I just want to see how it works out, and I kind of hope they can avoid, in some capacity, avoid like the Clippers or something in round one. Although it would be really interesting to see how Luka would deal with like Kawhi on him for most of a game. That would be a really big test for him, and that in itself would be really interesting.
No, it really would, and I like a lot of what Dallas has done to assemble their roster. I know the running joke is that Mark Cuban is getting like all the best white players for his roster because you have Luka and Kristaps. They've been trying to get Goran Dragic to join Luka's. You know, I think that'd be a great complimentary point guard to play alongside your point forward. And like, no, the Mavericks have a lot of fun young pieces. They have some seasoned veterans like Courtney Lee and JJ Barea on the roster. And like, yeah, the MKG thing, I kind of forgot that happened. That's a good defensive wing who can play both the 3 and the 4. I think that's a lot of fun. I mean, maybe not someone you want to rely on long term, like especially at the free throw line or in terms of just jump shooting in general. But no, Rick Carlisle is a good coach. I think he is one of the top 5 coaches in the NBA, along with Spoelstra, along with Popovich, the guys who are up there as well. Maybe JB Bickerstaff if the Cavs are able to finish out this season. But I think Dallas is also a good thing for at least the people who are listening to get an idea of how different the situations are for Cleveland compared to Dallas, because they draft Colin Sexton and Luka Doncic are draft classmates, but Luka has raised the floor and the ceiling of this Mavericks team so rapidly and so quickly that they are already a playoff team after 2 years or so. That's been about 2 years since they drafted. Yeah, it's been 2 years since they drafted Luka at this point, and it's just an idea of how the Cavs really haven't found the guy yet. And speaking of the guy, let's talk about
want to say that like that's like a great way to just like get a little fair Colin Sexton criticism out there, and yeah, without like doing it. I just want to say like you're right, and although I think Dallas is better run than the Cavs and has a better roster, like I think they've been better at that kind of stuff the last couple of years. I think their roster is like pretty well constructed. Mm-hmm. And they obviously got Kristaps and stuff like that
for nothing.
For nothing.
Well,
thanks,
a lot of picks, but I feel like the Knicks are gonna blow it. So.
Oh yeah, but like they have there's something for the Cavs to learn in there. That is all I'll say. Mm-hmm. Who's your next one?
We're gonna jump down to the bubble teams. You and I were talking about this beforehand. I consider Brooklyn a bubble team at this point because
you want to watch the Brooklyn Nets play in this bubble?
No, I don't. And I'm talking about like teams that are gonna get bumped out of the playoffs. I think Brooklyn is definitely one of them. And I think this is Brooklyn having a decimated roster. I think the Wizards having a decimated roster. The Suns suck. I guess you just want Devin Booker there for the fun value. San Antonio, you want there just to preserve Popovich's legacy and everything else. But there's no LaMarcus Aldridge, so good luck, San Antonio. But
wait, LaMarcus Aldridge isn't playing in the... Oh, is he hurt? Did he have an injury?
He had season-ending surgery.
Yeah, okay, yes. Now that clicks in my brain.
Yeah. The Kings, whatever, don't care. Really, it's just Portland and New Orleans both are a lot of fun because they're both two teams that have the guy, quote-unquote. Memphis as well. You can include Memphis with Ja. I'm lumping these three teams together. You have Memphis with Ja, you have New Orleans, obviously, with Zion, and then you have Portland with Dame. Like, those three teams are going to be a lot of fun to watch because I think those three teams are going to be the three that are in the thick of it for that final seed in the Western Conference. I'm going to write off Washington at this point. I feel very comfortable in saying that. I think Brooklyn, actually, now that I say that, compared to Washington being the only Eastern team that got the invite, they're going to get in by default, but they're going to be the 8th seed and just get crushed by the Bucks in the first round. So, whatever. But I think those three teams are a lot of fun, and Zion was on an absolute tear. I was watching SportsCenter, actually, yesterday morning for the first time in a while, and they were talking about how Zion was averaging 26.3 points per game upon his return from injury, which is absolutely absurd for a rookie, and he's, again, another example of a young player who raises the floor of his team, and New Orleans has a lot of great complimentary pieces, and, I mean, Brandon Ingram, you can consider a star. Lonzo Ball is, like, one of the best prospects you could put in at point guard who's not going to really hurt your offense. I mean, unless you ask him to shoot and score often, but if you ask him to play defense and pass, you're in good hands there. And then jumping over to Portland, I mean, Dame's obviously a lot of fun. They are getting Nurkic back. Carmelo is going to be playing the 3, which will be kind of interesting. I think Zach Collins will be playing the 4 for them. I could be wrong at this point, but With Trevor Ariza out, they're going to bump Melo down to the three. I do know that much. And then Memphis is obviously, like, Memphis is a fascinating study of a team who seemed like they had no direction and then just assembled so many good young pieces. And then they got the guy, like you and I talk about in Jaw, to just kind of lead them there. And I mean, Brandon Clark's a ton of fun. Jonas is fun, but he won't be there for long. You have Jaren Jackson Jr. You have Dylan Brooks. You have just all these pieces that J.B. Bickerstaff helped put together, and then they hire Taylor Jenkins to finish the job. So,
very modern
Cleveland's
system.
Game. Yeah, no, Memphis is just a fun team to watch, and it's a damn shame. I hope that we get to see the throwback uniforms in Disney from them, because I'm a sucker for some 90s aesthetic, and those things reek 90s aesthetic. And I think just all three of those teams are going to be a hell of a lot of fun. And you can kind of just write off Sacramento, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, Phoenix, and Washington. And then, I mean, Brooklyn's just so bad at this point that I just do not care how they do, but everyone else seems compelling. Even Orlando. I'd take Orlando themselves over the Nets at this point.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams I think that have a lot of interesting little stuff, but we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to talk about, I think, the team that I am really hoping does some shenanigans in the East, and that's right after this. All right, Evan, knowing you know my basketball tastes, I feel like, pretty well.
I'm sure I'll get this wrong as the pressure's on, but...
Yeah, who do you think this East team that I want to talk about is?
It's either Toronto or Miami, I feel like. Well, am I wrong?
I want you to just pick one team.
Toronto?
Yeah, look at you. Okay, so here's the thing.
I just had to think of Toronto, a well-run organization.
Yes, yeah, I'm a sucker for an organization that has its ish together, mm-hmm. as people know. I think Toronto is such a really good template for the Cavs, because that team has developed talent really, really well. Like Siakam is a success story, but also Norm Powell is having a great year. Mm-hmm. You have Fred VanVleet. You have OG Anunoby is like an all defensive caliber player. Like, he's really good. That team, like, Terrence Davis is just like a rotation level guy for them. I love Marcus Gasol. Not every Cavs fan likes Kyle Lowry. I love Kyle Lowry. I think he's just awesome.
He's a bum.
Not a bum. Great player.
Yeah.
Glad you won a championship.
Kyrie smoked his ass.
But, like, love Kyle Lowry.
Listen, I had to deal with Raptors fans on Twitter for the longest time telling me that Kyrie Irving was overrated and that Kyle Lowry is the best point guard in the East. And I'm like, okay. So, he's a bum. Go ahead, though.
I think Kyle Lowry is great. And I just want to see what happens with this team. Like, I think there's a pretty good chance that they're the most likely team to give. I think there's a really good argument that they're the team most likely to give the Bucks a headache in the East. I think there's a really good case for that. And I think Boston obviously has one. Tatum is probably the best young guy this side of Embiid, kind of in the conference. I put him above Siakam at this point. But, like, Philly is interesting because they're just perpetually just like a craziness organization. But I really like Toronto. And they're just a team that if you wanted to look at what the Cavs can learn, it's getting a really smart coach in there. I think for basically just because I think Nick Nurse is kind of an opposite of Bickerstaff in a lot of ways. Just in terms of his Bickerstaff kind of has, I think, set principles from what we've seen, and obviously Nick Nurse will throw crazy stuff out there, different rosters and stuff, of course. But that's sort of what my takes on them as coaches are. Mm-hmm. I think they're well run, have a good interesting roster, play really good defense, and I just think they're really, really fun. And it's not like they're like a sucker title defender team. Like, even though they probably are not going to win the title, this is a team that has like a real pulse even after losing Kawhi, and there's something really like commendable about that.
No, I agree. Toronto's just a really well-run team, and you have to think that Masai Ujiri pulled the wool over RC Buford and Popovich's eyes by getting them to agree to trade Kawhi for Poeltl instead of Siakam at this point. Spicy P is a legitimately good player. Toronto, you know, they bit the bullet and traded arguably one of the best players in their franchise's history to that point in DeMar DeRozan to San Antonio, and it worked out in... I think I wrote about it at Fear the Sword, where like the Raptors are kind of a template, like you said, like for the Cavs to follow, where it's a slow burn rebuild. Like, when they lost Chris Bosh, it was just progressively building towards the playoffs, and then you build playoff success, and then hopefully maybe there's a disgruntled star that you can just cash in on some of these assets of yours, and just you get a quick championship run out of it. And Toronto's in an even better position because, like you said, they have so many good, young, promising players. Like Fred VanVleet's, it feels like a foregone conclusion heading to the Knicks and free agency just because of his agency connection, but he's really good for the Raptors. Like you said, I will say Kyle Lowry is good for the Raptors. Marc Gasol's fun. OG Anunoby, yeah, he's a stud. He's defensively so good. And, like, Toronto's just really good at finding diamonds in the rough and salvaging them and developing them into good prospects. Like you said, Terrence Davis. And also shout-out to our guy Trevor Magnani. Congrats on getting married. He's a big Trevor. Or not Trevor.
Yeah, salute Terrence to Trevor. Davis. I'm glad he and his bride are able to get married and amid all of this and that they're safe and everything. So salute to you, Trevor.
Mm-hmm. Trevor's a big Terrence Davis guy from what I remember. But, yes. It's funny you mentioned Philly because they are a team of what you shouldn't do when you're rebuilding. Like, Philly obviously tanked. The NBA changed a lot of the rules, and I feel like they fired Sam Hinkie to help them get the first pick to get Ben Simmons, if I remember correctly, or it was the Vault's pick, one of the two. But they are also an example of what not to do because Philly has made a lot of desperation moves to obtain Jimmy Butler, where they lost a lot of good pieces. And, like, if you look at it, like, before they traded, like, trading for Jimmy Butler made a lot of sense for Philly because you want to get the guy to kind of help build a culture with your young players in Embiid and Simmons. But Philly gave up so much along the way, and, like, they've shed so many of their assets. So, like, now they have a $100 million bench player in Al Horford that they're trying to get rid of in the worst way and could very well end up as a Cavalier if they do flip for Kevin Love, because Kevin Love makes a lot more sense in Philly than Al Horford does, at least next to Embiid. And it's just interesting to see how those two franchises are going in just, like, opposite directions. And, yeah, no, Toronto could give Milwaukee a run for their money, but I just... The whole reason the Raptors were able to surpass Milwaukee last year was because they formed a wall with Kawhi against Giannis, and then they kind of dared, like, Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton vanishing didn't help either, like, to try and beat them. And it's a good strategy. You shut down the best player, and you dare the role players to try and beat you. And guess what? Toronto's role players were infinitely better than what Milwaukee had last year. And if Ty, if you're listening for some reason, I'm sorry, but the truth hurts. But I just think the loss of Kawhi won't really push Toronto into championship contention, but yeah, no, they'll be a thorn in Milwaukee's side and whatever these abridged playoffs or situation they have. The NBA could get cute again and change the rules, but this is a team I'm surprised you haven't brought up yet. I'm also excited to watch the Nuggets. I really hope they can drop the stigma of being a really good regular season team and a really just okay playoff team, because I like Jamal Murray. Gary Harris is inconsistent as hell, but he's still fun. Paul Millsap is criminally underrated as just an all-around power forward. Jokic is a lot of fun. Michael Porter Jr. is looking to be a promising player off their bench, and they just have so many fun pieces in Denver, and I like Mike Malone as a head coach, and I like the direction that they're building, and, like, it's telling, like, Masai Ujiri came from Denver, Chicago's new general manager, who is more or less making me nervous that the Bulls are actually going to figure this out. He came from Denver, and the Nuggets are just a fun team, and I'm hoping they can kind of, like I said, just drop that stigma of, like, oh, they're really fun in the regular season, but then as soon as the playoffs hit, they turn into pumpkins because they don't have the guy. And hopefully Jokic can get back into the United States. From what I've read and what's been reported, he still hasn't even left his home country
yet. No, someone posted a picture of him in the airport.
Oh, hey, there you go. He found a flight, so that's good.
And Mike Malone was like, we have someone coming in from Europe.
Well, okay, well, look at me not being prepared.
Like, yeah, look at, come on.
It's okay. But, they're going to be fun, and I'll give a quick shout-out to Oklahoma City, who is one of the most surprising stories in the NBA this year, because I thought they were dead in the water when they got Chris Paul. And then Chris Paul having, like, this career resurgence and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander blossoming into a young star has been fun. And then, I don't know, Oklahoma City might have, like, this limited window where they can mess around in the playoffs this year, and then they start to strip things down and trade Steven Adams and everything else along the way. But that's just a team that kind of lucked out with a veteran player who's willing to take his own players under the wing. It must be nice, especially when you're looking through a Cleveland lens on things.
Evan, let's get out of here. I just want to say the Cavs, I just saw this tweet. They're doing these Player of the Week things. I just want to say Gambit, like, that's doing Darius Garland dirty.
It's Kevin Porter Jr.
Well, yeah, and they're teasing it with a Pokemon thing, and it's not even like, well, it's not even clever. Like, it's pretty obvious.
You know what? The Cavs social team is really good at what they do, and they're trying their best.
I know. They're getting people pumped. I'm just saying, like,
it should
make him taller, you know?
I mean,
like, give me his full 6'6" height.
I mean, listen,
this
Chris,
is really just me trying to commit to my bad bit, okay?
It's okay. I mean, the tallest Pokemon is Eternatus at 65 feet and 7 inches, so we could say...
Of course you know this.
I googled it, and then that could be that, or Wailord is 47 feet and 7 inches, and that's a big boy, and Kevin Porter Jr. isn't that big, so I think he's more of an Onix at 28 feet and 10 inches, so if they Photoshop KPJ into an Onix, I'm just gonna laugh, because... I'm in on the joke more than them, and I clicked on the video and it scared the hell out of me. So yeah, let's wrap up the shop today and head on out.
I hope he's like a Charizard, or like he feels like a Charmeleon right now.
You think so? He's still
kind of like
Jimmy Butler's
the Charizard. Yeah, because like, you know, he's a little evolved, but he's like still just kind of ornery all the time and like doing stuff, but not like, you know, not the full crazy beast that he needs to become.
Did you watch Pokemon as a kid?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I'd say he's more of a Charmander at this point, because if Kevin Porter stops listening to JB Bickerstaff, that's when he becomes a Charmeleon and a Charizard, and then humiliates JB on the court. But I do have one last question for you. Whoever wins this Larry O'Brien trophy, when they bring it out, do you think they're going to give him a knife to see it's a cake or not?
I hope someone does.
Dude, I watched that video at like 1:30, 2 o'clock last night, and my mind was like, I was like sleep deprived and absolutely.
This
like
explained why you couldn't go to sleep, because your brain just melted.
Well, I fell asleep after that, but it was like a half awake, half asleep state for the remainder of the night. But I watched that video. I'm like, there's no way that roll of toilet paper is a cake. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a cake. And then I saw a video of somebody taking a knife to a PlayStation controller. I'm like, it's totally a cake. It wasn't a cake.
So. No. The funniest one of those I saw was like that the meme of like the dad who's like smoking with the hat on, and like comes in to see his son. He's like, and the one I saw was like, "Hey son, are you a cake?" And the son's like, "What?"
I like "Are you winning, son?" That's a good meme. If you're investing in some meme economy stuff, "Are you winning, son?" is a good one to make a safe investment in.
Yeah, but that and he comes in. Yeah, are you? And someone changed it to "Are you a cake, son?" It's pretty great.
It's pretty good. I like
that. And the dad's like, well, it's wonderful. This is the only content I recognize right now. But Evan, let's get out of here. Cavs are obviously not in the bubble. We'll see if they get there eventually.
They will be soon in Chicago.
In theory, we'll see. I'm a little more skeptical, but we'll see what happens. We'll see kind of where things are headed. But thanks again to Rock Auto for sponsoring us. Thanks again to all you listeners. We'll be back later this week. Got Jackson Frank coming on to talk about LaMelo Ball, and the book club obviously coming back later this week as well. So stay tuned for more Locked On Cavs this week. And Evan, give us your catchphrase.
Go Cavs, guys. And go every team that I listed besides the Nets, the Suns, the Kings, and so on.
I don't want to watch the Wizards either, but... Yeah,
the Wizards are pretty bad, but
Bradley Beal's not playing. I'm not interested. Sorry, Jamal Crawford. Don't care.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, guys. Go Cavs. Have a good week. Talk to you soon.